Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. People who don't usually experience depression or anxiety might have found it surprising to feel some of those symptoms during the stay-at-home time or in the worries in general about COVID-19. Although, if you don't usually experience it, do you recognize it in yourself? And then people who already do have mental health issues have had an especially difficult time. We're going to focus a bit now on anxiety. And Andrea Peterson is joining us. She's a health reporter at the Wall Street Journal and the author of a book titled On Edge, A Journey Through Anxiety. Hi, Andrea. Glad to have you on the program.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Let me ask about each situation separately. So for the person who doesn't usually feel anxiety or depression, how might it be showing up now?
Well, I mean, this is a very uncertain time, and uncertainty is particularly anxiety-inducing. Many people are worried about their own health, the health of their loved ones. There's the stress of job losses and the shredding of routines and support systems that can really, it can fuel anxiety in people who already have it and induce it in people who may, in normal times, not struggle so much with anxiety.
When it shows up in a clear way that perhaps feels like a heart attack, but it's not. It's a panic attack or an anxiety attack. That's pretty obvious. But what are some other impacts from the experience of anxiety?
Well, there's two kind of buckets that it falls into. There's the physical symptoms. Yes, the most sort of extreme version is a panic attack, which is a sudden surge of symptoms that can include everything from, severe shortness of breath to chest pain to feeling dizzy. It's usually very dramatic. It comes on suddenly and usually eases within 10 or 15 minutes. And it can feel like a medical emergency. Two, more chronic anxiety. It can come up in people who have what's called generalized anxiety disorder, which is characterized by a lot of worry. The what if, trying to, you can find yourself trying to answer these unanswerable questions. Will I get sick? Will my family get sick? People will end up often having sleep difficulties too. That can also manifest itself as well. It can also manifest in muscle aches because you may not be realizing it, but often people who are anxious end up sort of tightening their muscles in kind of involuntarily. So there's a real constellation of symptoms. It can also show up in, like I said, in sleep disturbances as well.
So it's important to know what triggers your anxiety, what things you worry about. But we did speak to a sleep expert earlier this week that said those crazy dreams that a lot of people are experiencing, those over time will mellow out as you get sort of desensitized to it and learn how to function. Do you think the same is true if it's not chronic anxiety for anxiety, that over time you can become accustomed and start adapting and the anxiety will mellow?
Well, what's interesting is that, one of the major actually treatments for anxiety disorders, it's something called exposure therapy. And what you do is you gradually and systematically approach the very things that you're afraid of and learn how to manage any sort of anxiety symptoms that surge. So yes, sort of, continuing to approach situations or face situations that make you anxious do ultimately oftentimes reduce the amount of anxiety. So yes, and we are very adaptable too. And also talking to, the number of people who say that the pandemic is having a serious impact on their mental health. There was a survey released last month by the American Psychiatric Association that said that more than one third of Americans are feeling that way. Right. And many mental health helplines are seeing a real surge in the number of calls. But what was interesting, I was talking to one helpline who said that the nature of the calls are different. In the first couple of weeks, it was this really surging anxiety about their own health or their loved one's health. Then it sort of turned into anxiety about the economy and lost jobs, and also worry about or depression about sort of feeling isolated. And now people are seeing more kind of relationship issues as people have been sort of cooped up together for a very long time, it's causing some conflict with the people that we live with.
Yeah, these waves of experience are so interesting. You wrote about therapy sessions that are going virtual, and I think that's something to add in case people are feeling disconnected from a therapist or a doctor who might be the lifeline. It doesn't have to be that way, right?
That's right. Basically, within the course of just a couple weeks, almost all outpatient mental health treatment has migrated online. And psychologists, psychiatrists, couples counselors, people who work with young children, they've all really gotten a lot very creative. People are doing group therapy online as well via things like Zoom for healthcare. It's a password protective, a little bit more secure version of Zoom than what maybe you were doing with happy hour with your friends. Mm-hmm. But most therapists are offering those kind of video only sessions. Also, you can do it on the phone too. And health insurers and Medicare and Medicaid have also relaxed some of the restrictions that have prevented some people from accessing this kind of teletherapy. So most people can get coverage just as they would for a in-person session. So that is something that definitely, if it's interfering with your life, and it's causing a lot of problems, you know, reaching out to a therapist is a really good idea.
We'll post a link to that article and a few of your others. One last question, Andrea. How are you managing it right now? What are you saying to yourself? What are you doing to help keep yourself in a sort of balance?
One thing that's really great to do is, because most of our regular routines have been really upended, is creating a routine for yourself. You know, a time to get up, a time to go to bed, a time to do the work you need to do, and also I schedule walks with my daughter and my husband every day. I make sure that I have at least one phone call with a friend every day. So scheduling things that bring you joy are also really important.
All right. I'm going to pick up on that phrase, scheduling a walk, and move on. But Andrea, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate that we could talk about anxiety. It's just one of many chapters where people need to take care of themselves right now. But great information. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for shedding light on this.
That's Andrea Peterson. She's a Wall Street Journal reporter, and her book, again, is titled On Edge, A Journey Through Anxiety. This is National Mental Health Awareness Month. It is in the midst of this transition right now in the coronavirus pandemic. On the phone is David Bain, Executive Director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI. Hi, David. Glad to have you back on Insight.
Hi, Beth. Thanks for having me back.
I want to be sure we start with the information when I said scheduling a walk. This was going to be a big month for NAMI walks across the country, including here in Sacramento. It's been revised a little. Would you explain?
Yes, it's been a bit of an adventure. So initially here in Sacramento, we were scheduled to do the Northern California NAMI walks on May 2nd, last Saturday. And there were NAMIs throughout the United States that were going to do them all here in the spring. We decided collectively to gather together, and we rescheduled the date for May 30th. And so we now call it NAMI Walks Your Way. And people can, instead of coming to a central location to do their walk-a-thon, they can walk at home, walk on a treadmill in their yard. They can jog, ride a bike. Some people will be doing NAMI yoga. I'll personally be doing NAMI gardening in my backyard. Anything that's kind of an activity that gets you outside, gets you active, and a way of connecting through that activity. And then we're asking people to take pictures and videos and upload them to the internet on Saturday, May 30th, as kind of that connecting throughout the United States as a national day of hope.
All right. We'll post a link to NAMI and the information about registering for the virtual walks on May 30th. Would you just add a comment about resources and guidance available during this COVID-19 time?
We, as Julia had mentioned, we have also gone online with our support groups. We are doing support groups for individuals who are living with a mental health condition. and also for family members of those living with mental health conditions. We're out there trying to take care of caregivers as well. And so we've done that online. The Hope Cooperative here in town has online navigators that will help direct people. We have a helpline that people can call in and find out where they can get help here in the local Sacramento area.
All right, David, thank you so much for your time. Be well, and I appreciate that. There'll be a lot of fun virtually for everyone to join in.
Yes, thank you, Beth.
Okay, that's David Bain, National Alliance on Mental Illness. And again, May 30th for the virtual walks. We'll be back after a short break. The Uplift is coming up next. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.